if I didn't misunderstand.
Say it again.
We had that resurveyed.
Yeah, we had resurveyed, we've already.
Goes with the bigger home.
This is actually on our property right here. We took a survey and had a survey done, and then just transferred over from one lot to the other.
Well, that wasn't clear to me.
No, it's a good question.
It shows it on their map there, on their survey. It's an easement, what they call it.
I've got one question.
Randy's got it, Dave, we'll get it to you.
Oh, okay, I haven't received that. I mean, it showed it on this map, the one that I had.
Yeah, no problem.
There you go, Dave.
I've got one question.
Sure.
You're asking for a special use for prospective buyer, correct? Because you're wanting to.
I'm asking for a zoning approval, basically. Rather it be, you know, it's not, I personally am not going to be doing it, but I'll do the things I need to do in order to make that approval solid. Does that make sense to you?
Kind of, but Bob, if we issue him a special use permit, it's not transferable to his prospective buyer, correct?
I had the same thought, and I do apologize. We didn't have an opportunity to talk before the meeting. But as Randy was indicating, these normally either nightly rental or.
Yeah, we were asking for basically nightly rental.
Or a bed and breakfast.
Or bed and breakfast, yeah.
You know, what the reasoning, understand this, within about 400 feet, I've got a duplex right here, which is multifamily in a residential neighborhood, supposed to be. Back in the 1930s when this subdivision was developed, these were fishing cabins. There was no subdivision rules and regulations ever written on it. So it's sort of like in a no man's land right now as to what is it really supposed to be.
Yeah, but if we make changes at this point in time, we have to meet the existing regulations that are in place now.
I understand that, and I'm prepared to do that. If you have to have me do something, I'll do it. And then basically what's going to happen is I just won't hang my sign for as long as I live there.
The way we've approached some of these is we've had a prospective buyer and the current property owner, we've had them basically the special use permit in some instances has been issued to a prospective buyer because these special use permits are looked upon as being non-transferable.
Okay, that will work too, because here's what Ann Symington's my real estate agent, here's what she said to me already. She says, look, John, she says, you know the economy, you know what's going on in the marketplace. She says, if we had this situation set up, she says, I know we're going to have buyers.
Yeah.
And we've already got hit with it. We had some people in town that were looking at it saying, well, can I get a bed and breakfast? Well, I can't say for sure they're going to get a bed and breakfast unless I first come to you guys. So I had to basically say to them, well, no, we don't have that arrangement right now, but it's one that maybe we could get set up for you. But the problem with buyers is when they want something, they want it right now.
Yes.
The wealthier the person, the quicker they want it.
Do we have to approve? I mean, we just only approve these as special use permits, don't we?
No, we go both ways. Most of them are special use permits because.
Yeah, it's really calling out for both of them to be a special use permit.
I'm looking at these houses and look at the setbacks on those small lots. It looks like we've got a 70-foot house on a 60-foot lot there.
That GIS map's off a little bit.
I'm sure of that. I understand that's not true dimensions, but still it concerns me.
So, Bob, is it your intention to run just a special use permit, or are we going to do something else?
Well,
what he's looking for, a special use permit, is not going to cut the cheese.
We've had some nightly rentals, and I don't want to get into this too much. We've had some nightly rentals in the past that have been run through as a Division 3 permit, and it's the current county commission's attorney's opinion that per the code book that they have to be, that they're to be looked upon as special use permits.
We can do this. We can look at it as a special use permit. If you get approval, you can tell the prospective buyer that you got approval for a special use permit to do that.
That'll work.
They will have to come back before the board and get approval.
I would expect that to be, that should work. That should be no problem, I would think. That's exactly probably the way it should be handled.
It'd give you an advantage.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we've done that before.
Yeah.
It fits a lot better.
All right. Whatever it takes to make it function correctly, just let me know.
And if 100 neighbors show up with their hair on fire and you don't get approved, then
I've had that happen before. I've been called everything that you can imagine.
Is the easement that you have, is that a recorded easement?
It's a recorded easement, sure is.
It's in the plot book, right?
It is recorded.
The map's recorded.
Yeah, I was going to say, at our age, we shouldn't be making any mistakes. I'm sure we got that correct. Wolf did it, I think.
No, Kemp. You got Kemp on your map.
Kemp, is that what it is? Okay. Yeah, I went to Wolf, and then I had to switch. Yeah, because he...
Now, the map can be recorded, but the document giving you the right to use that is a written document. That is the other house in your name?
Yes.
Or is your daughter's name?
It's our name.
Well, then you can't give
it to
yourself. You can't give yourself your own
right.
Yeah.
If
so,
he sells the property.
You sell the property.
What's going to happen is,
if I had to guess, I would bet you that a wise buyer will come along and say, okay, yeah, I want to do that, but I also want to buy this house here, too.
Well, if they don't, then more than likely you'll have to pay easement to the new buyer for that strip right there, because to you and you.
But if you're still owned the other house.
We own it. It's in our name. We pay all the taxes on it. Yeah. We have a daughter living in it.
Right.
And we're not excited about going home and telling her she's got to move.
If you still own it and somebody buys this,
then you've got to give them
a written document for the easement to be able to use it.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
All right. Gotcha.
Anybody ask any questions?
Are there any setback requirements on an easement?
No, an easement is an easement.
You just can't build within the easement.
Yeah.
That's an ingress egress easement, the way it's written in the
brochure. I have no more questions.
You good?
Yeah, we ain't even the arguing part yet.
We got to get the public in here for that.
We'll know more about what the feelings are then, I presume.
Yeah, sure we will.
We will see you November
14th. Yeah.
14th.
Okay.
6 o'clock.
I've got to run an ad, right, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That's the next step.
You should have that.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't call.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Next one up is Windmill Tower.
And that's located at 162 Windmill Road, or 169 Windmill Road, sorry. And we'll zoom in here on this. And this one's also off of State Highway 265. And I'll turn it over to the representative at this point. And
my name is Caroline Boyd. I'm with Telecom Realty Consultants at 3864 West 75th Street in Prairie Village, Kansas. I'm representing MW Towers, who is partially owned by Paul Rablica, who owns this piece of property. We bought this property earlier this year. It backs up to a substation, which you saw in an earlier shot. And it did have a mobile home on it and two outbuildings. Those have since been cleared. So the land is clear. The access road comes off of Windmill right up here and then winds around and comes up to what used to be the mobile home. This area is clear, mostly flat, and that's where we were proposing to put the cell tower compound. It will be a 255-foot self-support tower. It will be surrounded by a fence similar to the substation. And there will be a a gate at that road. We propose to have four carriers, the availability for four carriers, and we're negotiating with potential carriers now.
What pictures you got?
That's the survey.
At this point, here's the survey, and then
that's the site plan. Picture.
Okay. And really, the tower facility would be right in this area.
This was the mobile home area. It was falling down and full of mold, and so we cleared it off. And there was a garage here and a little small outbuilding here. Those have also been cleared out. They were very moldy. So that left us with a kind of a flattish piece of ground that the access road did come up to. So we proposed to put the compound in approximately that same area. And it would be 255 foot off the back of the property line minimum. And it would be surrounded by a chain link fence with barbed wire on the top. We'll improve the access road. Once construction's finished, we don't anticipate that there would be much vehicular traffic at all. Most of the repairs are being done electronically. Very, very rarely anymore do we get traffic to the site. We'll keep the vegetation down within the compound. It's pretty heavily treed site anyway, other than that cleared area, which we would keep cleared. But otherwise, it's volunteer vegetation and a lot of trees.
So if the tower falls down, it'll land on you.
It will. Okay. That's right.
It's on your property.
It will land on our property. You can see it's 4.7 acres is the size. You can see it's got high tension power lines coming through it. It's got an easement for those. I did call the electric company and did get that easement so we could put it on the survey. It was not recorded, but we have it. We chose that location and we were going to tear down the mobile home anyway because it was bad. But we chose that location because you got towers there already for the substation. It's just kind of another tower sticking in the air. I thought it would be a really good use. You can't even see the compound from the road. All you'll see from the road is a gate. And even if you look up, you don't really see because the elevation's there. You don't really see much of the top of the towers anyway. I just think from the years that I've been doing this, I think it's a good site for this.
That's kind of downhill, isn't it, from the low part of your lot?
Your road, your access road, comes kind of is flat at the right at the top mm-hmm. there at the road, and then it goes down
yeah.
and curves around, and then kind of comes back up. And then as you go towards the substation, which actually you can get to it from that property, mm-hmm. It goes up a little bit more. So you got a little bit of elevation increase incline. So we'll have to level out that site a little bit, but it's a nice site.
And the whole 4.7 is involved in this project, so we won't have a division and another project going in there.
At this point in time, the whole 4.7 is of course this purple
yes.
area. You've got the high tension power lines going through there and the easement going through there.
Oh, okay, yeah, so, that's going to cut it down.
So basically, the tower site is this. If he tries to do anything, down the road here, I don't know, it might be good for if he wants to sell it off down the road for a house or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's all woods and trees, so there's no point in touching it.
Usually if somebody's paying taxes on something, they try to think of another use for it.
Yeah, I mean, he might, all we know is towers. That's what we do. And once you put one in, nobody if you build it enough, if you do it right and build for future expansion, you don't want to build another one. So I don't
there's
anticipate
a place
doing
up
that.
On 248 where there's two
yeah.
within a rock throwing distance to each other.
The technology.
Supposedly they haven't put the other in yet.
The technology is changing rapidly right now. So
at this point, I think that we're covering it.
That's what they told us for the last 3 or 4 years.
No, it really is. It really is this go-around.
Anybody else?